Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Yes, I'm Still Sober. John Rabin. Hi, guys. I just realized I'm finally... This is episode six, is it? It is six. I'm finally comfortable with this. By with this, I mean microphone, pauses, not having a strict schedule of shit to talk about for the next half hour. I'm comfortable with all of it. I'm also comfortable with the idea that ideas I may have come up with early on, I'm probably ditching. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I just got back from lunch with my two brothers and my dad. We went to my workplace and ate burgers and stuff. It was good. It was nice. It was funny because my brother James had asked me about this thing that I was doing. And I'm like, you mean the podcast? He goes, yeah, how do I hear it? And I went blank. Like, how does he get this? And I'm like, I get an app. I use Stitcher. I don't know. That's it. He has an iPhone. I'm like, well, then use iTunes, because I don't use iTunes. And I'm like, well, I realized there's a man in his 40s trying to tell another man in his 40s how to do something that neither of them really know anything about. I mean, I know... podcast. I know enough to get it going, but to try to explain to somebody how to hear this, is it suddenly I'm going, oh, you know what? This is why I reach dozens of people a week. It's because the people that would like me don't know how the fuck to do a podcast. How do I get it on my phone? What's the thingy I gotta do to hear that thing you do? So that might be an issue. It's fine. Google it. That's what, of course, if you're hearing this, you know how to get on the podcast already. Speaking of older people who like me, there may be a couple of you listening that may remember this. There was years ago, I would say probably from 1999 to about 2002, 2003. So that's like 4 years. 4 years of my comedy was dedicated to the injustice of terrible music. I used to really, you could tell that was the one thing I was passionate about, was how bad country music was and how shitty rock and roll was at the time. Because that was like the heyday of Limp Bizkit, which I made fun of Limp Bizkit for years. Holy shit. Just worthless bit after worthless bit about Fred Durst and his stupid goddamn red Yankees baseball cap. I just... ugh. And then I see... because I see a flyer for a show. There's a show called Louder Than Life, this festival. And it's insane. These are the people that are performing at the Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky. Alice in Chains, Limp Bizkit, Slash and his band, Suicidal Tendencies, Godsmack, Bush, Body Count, Seven Dust, Gwar, Nine Inch Nails, Deftones, Primus, Billy Idol, Clutch. I don't know what... Monster Magnet. This is this year. This is happening in September. That's insane. And honestly, I would watch all of those bands except for Limp Bizkit. I'm just kidding. I don't think I would sit... Imagine me at a festival. I can barely stand being in public with just a few people. I'm just like irritable. Just, I don't know what it is. I know what it is. Just, need to get my tall. But anyway, I really lightened up. Like I even have a bit about how you should just like what you like and quit changing your public taste to be how cool you are. And just, if you like something that's shitty, just like it. Like I realized that I love ABBA and REO Speedwagon, which doesn't fit anything else that I listen to. But I love REO Speedwagon and I really like ABBA. I'm going to listen to them. So I've got no problem. But and the whole idea that Nickelback has been like the butt of jokes for years when they're not the worst band out there. And I just would, my bit was about the fact that free will is a myth. So like Nickelback if you like them, because, you know, you are who you are. Now, all that being said, because I have calmed down about your musical taste, you're gonna like who you like. Just, it's fine. It's preference. Some, you know, obviously some bands are worse than others. Some are, you know, there are musical geniuses, and then there are musically handicapped people who have record contracts. I get that, and that's fine. However, it just yesterday when I took a lift from my grocery store back home, because I was stuck having to listen to whatever was on the radio and I wasn't going to ask him to change it, but I was stuck, and he had the song playing was "Love Walks In" by Van Halen. And I realized that I have never really just listened to some of the songs during the Van Hagar years. Because even, you know, early on, I was always told that David Lee Roth, Van Halen was what you listened to, you know, the first time around. And then when it switches over to Sammy Hagar taking over, you're like, no, don't. So I've always been that way, you know. And even when I've tried listening to 5150 and OU812 and whatever, I'm like, yeah, this is garbage. So it's always been garbage. But that song kept me hostage and made me so angry at how terrible that song is. It's unbelievable. Like, I pulled up because I had to listen to it. So I was listening to the lyrics for the first time to really, like, because I was there. I was being held hostage by Sammy Hagar, and with lyrics like, and I'm going to read them real quick. "And then you sense a change. Nothing feels the same. All your dreams are strange. Love comes walking in. Some kind of alien," what? "Some kind of alien waits for the opening, then simply pulls a string. Love comes walking in." That doesn't, it's baffling how terrible that song is. And like I said, musical preference, you can like what you like, but holy shit, man. If you like the Sammy Hagar era Van Halen, there's something fucking wrong with you. You're really, I know that goes against what I just said, but you can't like actual rock music and like that. I don't think it's possible. Do you realize that 5150 came out 2 years after Jump? They went to that. That's a really far drop to go from Hot for Teacher to that horrible piece of shit song in 2 years. Panama to that. How do you not see how? Maybe it's just the 80s, man. Maybe cocaine. I don't know what it is. Anyway, yeah. So, fuck Van Halen and just in general, except for those, except for like 20 songs off those first four albums. But that's. So I was thinking about the James Gunn thing, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Who lost his job because of tweets from 9 years ago. The thing about that is that which he's probably going to get his job back since the entire cast and crew is behind him. And we can only hope, otherwise that third movie's going to be shit. You understand that, right? It's all about, I don't know, this right-wing group is like attacking different people. Patton Oswalt and different. And they went after Anthony Jeselnik, which is hilarious to me. Of all the people to go after, you go after the guy whose persona is sociopath. He's not going to fold. But it made me think about my own Twitter feed that I don't use, but still up there. Not that I have anything, because I'm not famous, so it doesn't matter. But not that I have anything that would come back and bite me on the ass in that way. It's more of a, made me think about my Twitter feed because I don't want really unfunny shit brought up. Like, oh yeah, he's good now and successful, but look at these terrible jokes that are extremely unfunny and hack. Like that would be my fear is hack shit brought up back when I was trying out Twitter and I didn't know what I was doing. So, and also I thought about any tweets or anything that I posted while I was still fucked up, either from drinking or doing heroin. So I thought, this happened earlier today, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back and just delete everything right up to when I sobered up. So I got in there and I started scrolling through. I don't have a whole lot of tweets, so I don't know how. There's got to be a shortcut, but I don't know it, to delete like early stuff. That should really be a feature. It's like a CYA feature where you can go back and like, yeah, delete everything in 2009, please. Like, I wish that was a thing. So I start scrolling back and it takes a while. So I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling and I really commit to doing this. I'm like scrolling through and I see a couple of tweets in 2013. I'm like, wow, that's dated. Just delete it. And I keep going through and I finally get down. And I get down to middle of the year 2012. And I discover that I've already deleted everything before 2012. I've had this idea before. Yeah, I already deleted everything prior to when I sobered up. So, anyway, life is a flat circle, apparently, on Twitter. So I already did that. Well, that was a nice waste of my morning. But, you know, I suppose that's better than watching just another YouTube video for no reason. So, all right, so I have a couple of articles that I was looking at. So I thought that's what we would do today. And one of them is, this is in Forbes, and it's Demi Lovato's struggle with addiction highlights the risk of relapse. And as we learned about Demi Lovato's hospitalization, I'm sober, I swear, related to reported heroin use yesterday, the reality is that beating addiction and staying sober over the long term is not an easy feat to accomplish. You hear that, everybody? It's not easy to be sober. Forbes says so. The truth is that the odds for relapse are steep unless you receive ongoing social support, counseling, and medication-assisted therapy while going through withdrawal, which has been proven to reduce the risk of relapse. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's different. That's the thing, is that everybody has their own process. Like, AA didn't work for me. Which I'll say this about that. I had to go to meetings, first off, because probation required you to go to a certain number of meetings a week. And I actually think that hindered me, because by being forced to go, you get so used to to everything, and it's just this is an AA meeting again, you know, you just kind of go, And I know that they say in there that they have some people that if you're not into the program, to fake it until you make it. That's an actual saying, by the way. Fake it till you make it. As if you go through the motions long enough, at some point you'll brainwash yourself into believing it, I guess. Which maybe that does work for some people. It didn't for me. It actually did the opposite. I got so used to it that by the time I finally got around years later to wanting help, I was so burnt out and convinced that AA was not going to work that it didn't for me. That I couldn't even tackle having yet another sponsor and doing the different steps. So I think that actually forcing, because the only way it works is if you believe it and if you try. So the idea of forcing it onto somebody, I think it's counterproductive. And I'm not really sure if probation does that anymore, makes you go to meetings. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. The bottom line is that rates of relapse ultimately vary depending on the substance being abused. Well, no shit. For opiate addiction, the rates are quite high, with an 85% chance of relapse 1 year after ending use. Yeah. Man, we love our painkillers. If you're really hooked on painkillers, it's really hard to shake that shit. Okay, that's enough of that one. There is this one article I wanted to bring up that's from the Albuquerque Journal. Oh my God. Now, what got my attention to it is the headline. The headline is, "Poet aims to end stigma of addiction through her art." And my reaction to that is, no, please don't. No. Don't. You don't have to do a poem. Man, that's fine. There is in the article, though, because it's about her son OD'd and died, and she's being interviewed by somebody else who also had a son that died from overdose. So here's the paragraph that really stuck out that I'm not going to mock, although I will mock bad art. I just don't. Maybe I'm just not into poetry. Anyway, it is easy for others who have not dealt with drug addiction to lay blame. That's true. It's very easy. In fact, it's easy for others who have not dealt with anything to lay blame about everything. That actually, that's not just an addiction thing. That's all what we do. We have, zero empathy. And every time, we immediately treat every single issue and every single thing that we read. We can't just read news. We have to treat it like it's a fucking sporting event where you have to pick a side. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, these people. And it's just, ugh. And it doesn't do anything. It just makes you feel better. And then other people read your bullshit. And it just keeps churning up this cycle of hate. It's great, isn't it? Anyway, sharing my story of my son's death in 2017 of a heroin overdose left me open to stinging criticisms that I was a bad mom to have raised a junkie who hadn't deserved to live. And man, that is... Oh, and Moffat, the poet, said the stigma and the shaming are reminiscent of the early days of the AIDS epidemic. Oh my God, the hatefulness and the blame and the ugliness then. One wonders if many of those who became sick might have lived longer had we started talking about it sooner, had we started saying that it was a terrible disease, not just stupidity or carelessness or worse, and we need to find a cure. Yeah. Man, I barely remember that because that was... because I was young then, but I remember when people were just really judgmental about that, and they're kind of backing down now. It blows my mind, and this is only because of who I'm around all the time. I'm, being in Austin, of course, is different. Being around people who trucks all the time, I keep forgetting that there still is, there still are a lot of people out there who think that an addiction problem is like a, is like a flaw that, and it's, you blame the people, you blame the parents is the weirdest thing, because especially with me, because I was raised really well, in a loving home. I got, you know, I was in a bunch of different, I was in, you know, the National Honor Society. I was in Just Say No, ironically. I played football. I was in band. I was an honor student. I did a, essentially because my parents taught me that I couldn't quit anything. I just, if I didn't want to do it, I could just not do it the next year. Like, you finished out your term and you did it, you know, and that's the thing is I have an ethic because of that. I have a work ethic. And, you know, you don't quit something. You finish it, and then if you, you know, then the next time you just don't do it when the season's over or whatever. And, but none of that had anything to do, but I still became like an alcoholic and a junkie. It didn't have anything to do with them. It had everything to do with, this is what I wanted to do. I knowingly got into all this shit because I thought it was cool. By the way, I still think booze and drugs are cool. I do. It's just, you're not going to shake that. It's in there. It's just not, I mean, and that's how I got out of it, was because you finally get to a point where your life's, you know, just like, in order to live, I got to keep going. And also, how old are you, buddy? You're not cool anymore. If you're, you know, you're drinking around people who are 22 and you're almost 40, and it's, you know, and when you're past the heroin chic stage of heroin and now you're just junkie, junkie's not as cool as heroin chic at all. Infections are not cool. Dying all the time's not really that awesome. So you finally just get it. You have to get to a point. The problem is you get to a point and it's just easier to keep going. Luckily, I bottomed out without dying. And then, you know, I was able to get into rehab. But that's, The idea that you can blame someone's parents for the way they are, I mean, everybody's different. Just the assumption there is just mind-blowing. People can judge anybody that they don't even know just because of that. Well, obviously, they fucked up. That's why, you know, it's them. They don't understand. Just everything, man. ODing. Suicide too. People need to mind their own fucking business. That's what they need to do. They need to, you know, everybody judges. Just don't, you don't have to say it out loud. How do you not keep it in your head? You know, how can I make the world a better place? Maybe don't talk so much. Not every opinion needs to be out in the open. That's how you make, you know, sure, recycle if you want, but how about you shut the fuck up some? I mean, I'm doing it on the podcast. That's what I'd rather do. I talk less on social media and I dump it on the podcast. This is my outlet. You have to come find me to listen to some bullshit that I gotta say. But just people think, you know what I think? All right. That's not fun. Anyway, yeah, addiction's an issue. I don't know if I would call it a disease anymore. It's more of a brain, but it is in your head. It's a brain disorder. And I don't think they'll ever find a cure for it, but there's, you know, I hope it gets better. I mean, I hope that there's funding. I hope more funding gets made for people like us. Because we need it, man. Sorry, I'm pausing. I'm just like sitting there going, damn, shit's fucked up, bro. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, if you're listening to this and you're sober, man, I hope you are. I hope things are going well. Hang on, I gotta pause this thing for a second. All right. I love that I said hold on when it's just fluid and it's like I never paused it, but I had to I do this podcast through soundtrap.com, and because it's a browser-based only thing, sometimes you have to go, let's pause it and save it so that I don't have to ramble for 20 minutes again. Anyway. So listen, yeah. If you're still listening, and there are some of you that do, and you have any questions, stillsoberpod@gmail.com. If you have any, if you need to vent about sobriety, you can email me. Also, make sure you message, if you just want to message me directly, you know, make sure you say, hey, this is just for you. Don't mention this on the podcast where it might get heard by, you know, dozens. So anyway, I could have just ended it there instead of paused, but should have just held on for a couple of more minutes, gone, well, that's it, but that isn't it. But yeah, let me just say that I hope that as I continue to do this, I hope that I do improve, and I hope that I come back and listen to these and go, man, I didn't know what I was doing when I would ramble for 30 minutes. But now, when I ramble for 30 minutes, I know exactly what I'm doing. Because it's not really about that. This is more, I figured out that this podcast is more of kind of like my meeting. Makes me kind of think about where I stand in my quote-unquote recovery. It doesn't really feel like recovery. It's just life. Just life, and I'm not doing that shit anymore, and I'm just hopefully replacing it with stuff that's productive to me. Those are the key. By the way, that's the key there. To me. You may not think it's productive to play Fallout 4 for 2 to 3 hours every other day, but I like it. Makes me feel good, and I get to cut it off and then go hang out with a real woman. Yay, girlfriend. But yeah, no, that's how I get through the day sometimes. But I think things are doing all right. It's weird for an opiate crisis to explode right after you stop doing opiates. And I wish I had more information to tell people that could help them. But unfortunately, the only thing I can think of is that they need, we just need funding for more heroin addicts and opiate addicts to get into a treatment. Because you need that. You need a 90-day treatment center away from everything and away from your influences to get a head start. And still, the percentage of failure is high even in rehab, which really sucks. It's a tough thing, man. It's even with my junkie thinking going, I did it before you guys, but that's the addict thought process that's still kind of there and occasionally rears its head and talks in my ear. But anyway, yeah, no, that's, if anybody has any questions, not comments, well, I guess you could do a comment. I'll probably just ignore it. But if you had an actual legit question or a semi-legit question, stillsoberpod@gmail.com, let me know. All right. Well, I think that should do it. That's it for this week. We will see you next week. And I think maybe next week I'll break down into more detail about how I got sober. I'll give you a more detailed timeline and we'll go into that. I think we'll do that next week. So, all right, you guys. Stay sober if you want. Just hang in there. It's just life, man. Don't take it too seriously. Bye.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. come down.